scripture this morning, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. Got a good crowd today. Boy, had some bunch of youngins, didn't we? That's a good thing. We want to always have that. I want to welcome our visitors here today. I want to mention a special visitor that we have right here, Jim. Y'all make sure you meet him on the way out. He's a guest of my brother-in-law, Paul. And so he's already part of the family. How's that? Yeah, you don't know yet. Yeah, but it's great to have all of you here today. We do have a few other visitors roaming around, and so we're grateful that you are here with us today. Yeah, we are totally grateful that you're here with us today. I want to talk about something that was a request, and it's grace. And I'm going to talk about that. And I don't want to just do it one lesson. We're probably going to have several lessons dealing with grace. Because, and here's the reason, because grace has been misconstrued. It's been said one way when it's really not that way. It's been approached in a way that is really not correct. Paul and Kathy had a grandmother whom I absolutely loved. Y'all know that. She was 98 years old when she passed away. She literally saw every year of the 20th century except one year. She was a teenager during World War I. And me being the amateur historian that I am, I would ask her a lot of questions about who was doing this, what was going on, what was happening at this time. And she was a wealth of knowledge, and I just loved her to death. But I will tell you this, her idea of grace was not correct. And the reason why it was not correct was because she could not understand how a loving God could send anyone to hell. And so she believed that everybody was going to heaven. It didn't matter what happened. Everybody was going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do on this earth, you're still going to go to heaven. Now, the reason why she believed that, I came later to understand, it's simply because she had relatives that were questionable about their salvation. And she could not think in her mind at any point or time that any of those relatives would not make it to heaven. And so she came to the conclusion that everybody's going to go to heaven. And so many times you hear about those individuals who are believers, who say, all you have to do is believe, and then you will be saved. Well, there's a problem with that, too. Because remember what James says? Even the who believe. Even the demons believe. Even the demons believe. But folks, there's not going to be demons in heaven. They're not going. And one of the things about the demons is this, that they knew who Jesus Christ was before the apostles knew who Jesus Christ was. Remember the man who had the legion of demons? The apostles at that time did not understand that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, but they knew because when they came out of the caves and they ran up to Jesus, they said, "What have we to do with thee, the Son of God?" Folks, I want you to understand, They know who Jesus is. But the key there is the demons tremble because they know where they're going to end up. They know that they're going to be cast out into outer darkness. They know they're going to be in hell. And one of the things also that you got to understand is this, that yes, God is a loving God. Yes, God is a forgiving God. But God is also a just God. And how would it be just if a person didn't believe in God, didn't follow God, didn't do anything? That person gets to go to heaven, and those who have worked all their lives to serve God also get to go to heaven. How just would that be? It's not. So the idea is that mama folks, their grandmother, my adopted grandmother by marriage, the problem was that she said, God is such a loving God, God is such a forgiving God, I do not believe He could send anybody to hell. Her statement is actually correct. Because God doesn't send anybody to hell. It's 100% our choice. 100%. Our choice. Remember, always there were two trees in the garden. One was the tree of life, which gave eternal life. The other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that tree, God told them, don't eat of that. Now, if Adam and Eve had been really smart, like we do around here in Oklahoma and Arkansas, guess what we do? When we see a snake, we kill it. If they'd have been really smart, they should have killed that old snake. But what happened was they had the choice. Folks, we always have that choice. We have the choice to believe or not to believe. We have the choice to obey or not to obey. We have the choice to be baptized or not to be baptized. Folks, that is our choice. That has always been our choice. And because it has always been our choice, God does not stand in the way of you making that choice. He helps guide you. He helps direct you. He puts the word right in front of you. But you know what? You have to accept that word. You have to believe that word. You have to obey that word because that is our choice. Now, one of the things that I want you to realize is that grace and faith go together. Grace and faith go together. Without grace, there would be no need for faith. Without faith, there is no grace. Have you ever thought about it in that manner? And I'm talking individually. I'm not talking worldwide. I'm talking about you yourself. If you have no faith, then you have no grace. It goes together. Remember what the situation was with the Old Testament law. The old law versus the new law. The old law is in a situation where you have an opportunity to serve God, but if you make one mistake, what happens to you? You are cast out. Because the wages of sin is what? Don't ever forget that. If you have no grace, then you fall under the category of the Old Testament law. which means that you have to live a life that's absolutely perfect in every way, or you don't get to go to heaven. Absolutely perfect. The problem with that is that no one is absolutely perfect. There has been one person that was absolutely perfect that was on this earth, and folks, we're not him. So therefore, in our lifetime, if we are still considered to be under the old law, then we are under the law of sin and death. We are under that condemnation. The old law could only condemn. The old law cannot save. The old law cannot forgive. There was nothing in the old law that allowed that to take place. And that's why, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, year after year after year, they would offer up sacrifices. But all it would do is bring forward the sins of the people to the point of where that perfect sacrifice would come, and therefore would cleanse those people, those faithful people under the old law. It would cleanse them of their sin. It could not happen without the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10. Also remember this. Paul states that I can boast in nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know how I can boast in nothing like that, except that, is because I cannot do enough to save myself. Because you know what? Romans 3:23, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, since all of us have sinned, all of us have fallen short, we cannot overcome that sin. Only the one who had no sin could overcome it. And that's Jesus Christ. So if I'm going to boast about my salvation, guess where my salvation comes from? It comes from the grace of God. It comes from Jesus Christ paying my debt for sin so that I can be with them in eternity. But here's the problem. And here's the problem with today. So many people believe that grace overcomes everything. And therefore, I'm going to heaven regardless of what I do, regardless of what I say, regardless of what evil I do in my lifetime, God's going to forgive me and I'm going to heaven. And folks, we have a hard time believing that. But I want you to know there's a whole lot of people out there in the world today that believe exactly that. They think grace does everything. Well, I'm going to show you what grace does. And then I'm going to also show you today what faith does. Grace and faith go together. You cannot have grace without faith. And you cannot have faith without the grace of God. They go together. Notice Paul's statement as we begin in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, we are saved by grace. As I mentioned a minute ago, under the Old Testament law, we cannot be saved. The only thing we can be is condemned. Because all who fall short will be condemned. The wages of sin is death. There is no salvation under the Old Testament law. It is only by grace that salvation comes. It is only through grace. And if you read the Old Testament, and we've got some great classes going on right now. Great classes. Our Tuesday night class is a class from Judges to Jesus. And it's going to take about 10 years for us to get through it. But it's a great class. And those of you who are coming to it know how great a class it is. Because we're studying about that. And then on Sunday nights, we're studying about Daniel. And those of you who are coming on Sunday nights about Daniel, you're seeing that faith that's there in Daniel. That faith that's in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That faith that put that fourth individual in that furnace to protect them from that furnace. That's what we talked about last week. Folks, these are great classes. But realize what the Old Testament does. The Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, points directly to Jesus Christ. That's where the salvation is coming. That's where the grace is coming. It's through Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we are saved by that grace of God. And all of the Old Testament points directly to that. Realize the Old Testament had to be in place. Why? Because the Old Testament taught us. It was our schoolmaster. It teaches us what's right and wrong. What's good and bad. It's interesting to see all these states right now that are passing all these laws to put the Ten Commandments in the classrooms. I'm fine with that. Put it in there. That's great. I don't have a problem with it. But here's where I have a problem. Here's where I have a problem. Who is teaching those classes? Who is teaching those classes? Who's teaching that? Is it a Muslim? Is it a Jew? Is it someone other than that? Is it something out there in the world that's teaching that class that is not of the Christian faith? Because the Old Testament law shows us what sin is. And the New Testament law shows us how to obtain forgiveness. That's what it does. Now, Paul's statement is one that is saved by grace. Does not suggest at any point or time in the New Testament that you do not have to do anything in order to receive that grace. It doesn't just happen. There's nothing in the New Testament that says you don't have to do anything in order to receive that grace. Matter of fact, it speaks the opposite of that. Especially if you read Romans chapter 6. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 1 starts off and it says, "Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound?" Then there's two little words after that. What are they? God forbid. No. No. It's a change of life. It's a change in attitude. It's a change in direction. We are not doing the same thing we were doing before. And if you read the book of Galatians, if you're still doing what you were doing before, Galatians tells you that you have made Christ blood of no effect and you have fallen from grace. The grace doesn't count if you don't change your life, if you don't do something different, because you've made it of no effect. So Paul's statement does not in any way, shape, or form overcome the idea that we must not do anything or that we must do something in order to receive grace. We must. It may be said that all the things to which salvation is attributed flow from the grace of God. Now notice that statement. All things that deal with salvation flow from the grace of God. Without God's grace, there can be no salvation. Therefore, everything dealing with salvation flows flows through grace. That's a powerful statement that I've got up there, and it's one in which you really need to focus on and understand every aspect of that statement. It's God's grace that allows me to go to heaven. It is God's grace that gives me forgiveness. It is God's grace that paid my debt for sin. Nowhere in the New Testament it is taught that a person is saved by grace alone. Nowhere does it say that. And that's important for us to see as well. We are not saved by grace alone. But all salvation comes through grace. John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us this. And the Word became flesh. Who was the Word? Jesus Christ. If you read John chapter 1, start with the verse 1, and you read all the way through there, he's talking about Jesus coming. He's talking about Jesus himself. And he starts out as in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and he says, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? Realize that the Word became flesh. And that Word, which is Jesus Christ, is full of grace and truth. The Word is full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 17 says this, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. Again, the law could not save. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are saved by grace, which is the Word, which is full of grace and truth. That's where salvation comes. Grace is a summation of all that God has done to bring salvation to humanity. Realize that. Grace is that summation of all that God has done to bring salvation to you. John 3:16 that we love to quote. What does it say? For God so loved the world. It's because He loved you. Because He loved me. God made a way so that salvation could come to all mankind of all time, and therefore we could have a place with Him in eternity forever and ever and ever. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Grace brings about salvation. Grace is the way. So the question is then, why are we not all saved? Why is it that we're not all saved? Here's the answer. Because not all have received that grace. Remember, I told you at the beginning, Adam and Eve had a choice. They should have killed the snake. Adam and Eve had that choice. They didn't have to eat of that tree of knowledge, but they could have eaten of that tree of life and lived forever. And guess what? That tree of life is mentioned again in the book of Revelation in heaven. But we live forever. But they chose the other way. Grace has been explained to me one time as a brand new coat that you received. And it looks great. It's a great Christmas present. You got it at Christmas time. It's a big old heavy coat. And sometimes we need that heavy coat around here. And you put it on your bed and you say, man, what a great looking coat that is. But you know what? If you don't put it up, pick it up and put it on, then guess what? It's useless. But if you pick it up and put it on, it protects you from the winter. This is grace. And the reason why not all are saved is because that freedom of choice is still there. You have the choice to pick up that coat, or you have the choice to leave it on your bed. It is your choice. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, this is one of the few times in the Bible that you see a very specific definition as to what faith is, or as to what really anything is specifically. Here in chapter 11, verse 1, it is very specific. It says, faith, and notice the word, is the certainty. Certainty of things hoped for. A proof of things not seen. You know how you know if you have faith in God? You know that you have faith in God because somebody says to you, do you believe in God? And you say, yes, I do. That's how you know that you believe in God. You are certain about it. Folks, there are a few things in this life that I am absolutely sure of without any question whatsoever. One is, there is a God, there is a Creator. Number two is, there is a Son of God, Jesus Christ. Number three is, there is a place called heaven, and I'm going there. These are things that I am sure of. These are things that I know of. And it's not because of what I have done, but rather it's because of what God did for me through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why when Paul says I can boast in nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's exactly what he's talking about. I cannot boast that I've done something to earn my way to heaven. I get there because God gave me that gift. Jesus paid my debt. He overcame sin. He overcame death. And I know I have a place with them in heaven. These are things that I know. This is faith. Now I can believe that things are going to happen and not have faith. Because remember, I've told you before, in order to have faith, faith requires something. It requires action. So as we look at these definitions between faith and grace, I want to start with faith, with grace. Grace is the gift that God has given us so that we may obtain salvation. It is a gift. When they say it's the free gift of God, that's exactly what it is. It is a gift given to us so that we may obtain salvation. And I always sum up grace in two words. Jesus Christ. That's grace. That's grace. But folks, if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, then I can have no grace. If I don't do His will, I can obtain no grace. Salvation comes by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is grace. The second part is faith. Faith is knowing without a doubt that these things are true. Nobody can argue with me that God doesn't exist. I stand firm on that, that God does exist, that Jesus Christ does exist, and Jesus paid my debt for sin. I stand firm. I cannot be moved from that rock. That is faith. Knowing without a doubt. Faith is man's acceptance of the gift that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. Now, Hebrews 11:6 has a few requirements for faith. It tells us right there in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means very simply that if you don't have faith, you don't get grace. They go together. It's impossible to please God without it. There is no question about that. Also, if you look at this, in James chapter 2, verse 20, it says, faith without works is what? I use the King James Version in this because I like the King James Version better than the other versions, because I like the emphasis on the word dead here. And that emphasis is, it doesn't exist for you if you don't have faith. Faith without works is dead. Therefore, grace without faith is also dead. You don't receive grace without faith. Faith without works doesn't exist. Therefore, faith requires action. Faith requires action. God provided for us a way. And this is one of my favorite verses. Y'all get on to me a lot of times because I say this is my favorite verse or this is my favorite whatever. Favorite song. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're right. I got a lot of favorites. Well, this is one of my favorites. Right here. And this favorite is this. Jesus says, I am the way. God provided the way to salvation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. No one can. So anyone who denies the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, guess what? You can't go to the Father. Because He's the way. God provided for us a way so that we could be in heaven. The way is Jesus Christ. Grace is Jesus Christ. It is there. It is provided. It has opened the door for every person that ever walked the face of this earth to go to heaven because Jesus paid for our sins. Now notice this. We are not justified by faith alone. Anywhere in the Bible that talks about faith never says that we are justified by faith alone. The only time it ever says this is that it says we are not justified by faith alone. Matthew 7:21 tells us this, that there will be people that will come to Jesus on that day of judgment that I talked about last week. There will be people that will come to Jesus on that day and will say to him, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And Jesus will look at them and say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, for I, what? The worst thing that Jesus could ever say to you. That he never knew you. But what we see right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it's not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there will be people who believe in Jesus Christ that will not get into heaven. There will be people that believe in God who will not get into heaven. But he says, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, those people are the people that will enter. Those people. Just like grace and faith go together, guess what? Faith and works go together. Same thing. Just like grace and faith go together, faith and works go together. If you don't live for God, then folks, you're living for Satan. And we know where Satan's going. He's not going to heaven. He will be cast out. The last verse that I have up here for you is this. Man's acceptance of God's grace comes through faith. God has given you the way. This is the way for salvation. This is the way for you to go to heaven. Here it is. Jesus Christ died for you. So, how do we pick up that coat of grace? How do we put it on? How does it protect us? Here's the way. It's through your act of faith. Faith requires action. Because without action, there is no faith. And so, faith and works go together. Mark 16:16 tells us this. The one who believes and, that conjunction word that I've told you all about, you know, the Saturday morning shows, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Y'all remember that? If you don't remember that, you're too young. Okay? When you put the word and in there, that means you got to do both. Not just one, you got to do both. So therefore it says, the one who believes and has been baptized shall be saved. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. Belief and baptism. Faith and work. Belief and baptism. This is what puts us together. And realize this also in John chapter 3, verse 5, tells us very plainly that unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. John 3, 5. Don't forget that one. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that now we are saved by baptism. For baptism doth save us. And then our favorite that we like to quote, Acts 2:38. When they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was their response? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's your way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the gift? Salvation. What is the gift? Grace. We can't receive that gift without faith. So those people who say that when we go before judgment and God won't send anybody to hell because God's such a loving God, God's so full of grace that everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, guess what? That's not true, because not everybody has received the grace, because not everybody has accepted the grace. It requires faith in order to receive it. Faith then also requires action in order to have faith. So without faith, you cannot have grace. They go together. Faith and grace are together. Faith and works are together. Belief and baptism is together. These are all things which must occur in order for us to receive the greatest gift of all, which is the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through us, cleansing us of all of our sins. Folks, this lesson was a request. I love requests. You ask me, I'll give you a lesson on it. But one thing I want you to know, that this is one right here that is very important. Because so many of our people out in the world who profess to be Christians have never received the grace of God. They profess to be Christians because they believe. Well, if that's the case, Satan's a Christian. He is not. Because faith goes with grace. Works go with faith. Baptism goes with belief. And we can obtain those things through the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.